Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Rod Bryant and Jerry Gordon here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the Matrix.
We are sponsored by Torah Learning Channel, found torahlearningchannel.com. I'm Rod Bryant, along with my co-host, the amazing Jerry Gordon. We are going to have a great show lined up for you. We are practicing our French, Francais, right? We're going to be talking to Nidra Poller, who is in Paris, France. And Nidra is going to give us some insight into what is going on with the Yellow Vest movement, etc., the sort of civil uprising and the anti-Semitism in the country. Jerry, why don't you take just a moment to give a bio for our listeners who may not have heard of Nidra Poller?
Well, Nidra Poller is a long-term analyst, both in Israel and in France, and a dear friend who's come to the United States to warn us over the past 12 to 15 years of what has developed in France. That is to say, the rise of Islamic anti-Semitism, and what we have found in our previous program with her is the fact that when you attack the elite anywhere in this world, whether it's the United States or France, UK, even in Israel, what comes out of it is the dark past of anti-Semitism, whether it's the Russian Revolution, or even the current events that we see unfolding in Venezuela. As she has said before, Paris is Gaza, and now Paris is looking like Venezuela.
Right. And even though it sounds...
made those connections.
Right. And in the interview, I'm hoping to be able to pull out this idea that though it sounds on a philosophical level noble to say... We need to put the elite in check, and we need to tax the rich, take the money from the rich and give it to the poor. It all sounds sort of poetic, but in reality, it is a historical documented disaster in every case. And you and I know that Venezuela is a fine example of that going on right now down in South America. So we're going to have a great show lined up for you guys. Don't go away. Go get some tea, a cup of coffee. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Thank you for sticking around after the break. I'm Rod Bryant, along with Jerry Gordon. Just a reminder, short reminder, that we are sponsored by TorahLearningChannel.com. Torah Learning Channel is found on the internet at TorahLearningChannel.com. Also, you can find it on YouTube, streaming live 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, some of the best Torah teaching in the world. As we said earlier in the prelude to the show, we have... Miss Nidra Poller here as our guest, and she has come on before. We've talked about Paris and what is going on. Nidra, it's really important for us to sort of nail down a description so that the rest of the world community understands what's going on in France. Now, it has been almost 3 months since your last interview with the provocative title, Is Paris Gaza? And I realize it seemed a little staunch to be saying that about the emergence of anti-Semitism within the Galettes Jaunes, the Yellow Vests protest. How accurate do you think that was, and do you still stand by that assessment?
Yes, I stand by everything I said then, and many of those things are now coming into mainstream media. At the beginning, this was mistaken, the Gilets Jaunes, it was mistaken for a popular social movement. But when you looked deeper into how it developed and how it started, in fact, it was an insurrection from the very beginning. And it rode on a popular demand, which is very easy to understand, for purchasing power. I don't know anywhere in the world where you couldn't mobilize tens and thousands of people for purchasing power. So you had, you know, my intuition told me to look deeper into it. And as I told you then, one thing that alerted me right from the beginning is this hatred of the rich. Because when people hate the rich, they always hate Jews. And now it's out in the open. But it was there from the beginning.
So in reality, this just exposed what was already there. This is not a new sort of a new attitude toward Jews.
No, it was woven in to this idea of hating the rich. If you remember at the time, I said the first half of their complaint is very easy to understand. They want purchasing power, they are working people, and they're not earning a living. But then you had to listen to the second half. And the second half was, I summed it up as Venezuela. Take the money from the rich. And as time went on, that became more and more obvious because the number of people out in the streets is shrunk to, the latest figure is something like 45, 50,000 in all of France. Very small number of people.
So this isn't a vast majority of people in the country. This is just a vocal minority, is what you're saying.
It's a very small minority. Okay. It started with 300,000 people on the ground, boots on the ground, and it rapidly diminished. And after several weeks, the government gave concessions on very concrete things. They dropped that green tax. And they offered some kind of a bonus to people who work but don't earn a decent living. It added up to $10 billion, I think, out of the budget.
Wow.
The reaction of the Gilets Jaunes was, huh, peanuts. That's not what we want. So your only choice, if you want to look intelligently at the movement, is to listen and say, well, what do they want? Well, what they want is to overturn the government.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do away with representative democracy. And they want to give the power to the street. Their operation is totalitarian. They have never dissociated themselves physically or ideologically from the violence that's caused every time they get out in the streets.
So ideologically, this is nothing different than any of the other movements that we have seen in past decades or centuries, in which which appears to be a populist movement that comes up from the grassroots, that ends up being a totalitarian, violent, socialist sort of driven ideology. Correct? This is just the same old thing.
That's a big question, because you could say, you know, the French Revolution. You can talk about the Russian Revolution.
Right.
But the thing is that, let's take the Russian Revolution. The bourgeois went to the people. The Narodniki movement was the bourgeois going to the people, and the peasants were suffering. The serfs, they were suffering in a way that people in our countries do not suffer today. Mm-hmm. So they thought that this suffering of the peasants was the right fuel to overturn the Tsar. And of course, you know how it happened in the Russian Revolution. In a very short time, the democratic elements were overtaken by the Bolsheviks,
right,
and it became a totalitarian revolution, killing how many tens of millions of people.
Correct.
Today, we're not going to go and wash our clothes by the river anymore. And we're not going to have that kind of revolution anymore. We have democratic governments. If you don't agree with a democratic government, you organize politically. It's
correct.
The only way.
Correct.
Right?
Find a way. Yeah, find a way to be a part of the system and bring correction that way. Jerry?
Nidra, your reference to Venezuela is timely, given what we see there now, where the, quote, democratic opposition in their equivalent of the National Assembly has designated a legitimate president as against the corrupt kleptocrats, essentially, from Mr. Maduro. And this past weekend, we saw essentially evidence of that in terms of Maduro opposing the delivery of humanitarian aid. Now the problem is, how do we overturn a dictatorial regime that started from the street, as it did under former President Chavez?
Yes,
is there a lesson there for France?
Right. If our government were not so strong, it could happen here. And when I see the people suffering in Venezuela, I can't forget. They were out in the streets to saying, we don't have enough money, it's social injustice, take the money from the rich and give it to the poor. And they got Chavez. And we have two really fringe parties, but they make up quite a bit of the electorate. And one of those fringe parties, which we can describe as left or hard left, is La France Insoumise. And the leader of that party is still admiring Chavez and the Venezuelan, you know, the Bolivarians and the Venezuelan revolution, as the people are in the streets begging for humanitarian aid. And the other faction that has a lot of support for and from the Gilets Jaunes is Marine Le Pen. And her economic program is the same. It's Venezuela. Take the money from the rich and give it to the poor. And of course, the people that run these movements, parties, they're rich themselves. The socialist president, François Hollande, was very wealthy. And Marine Le Pen is very wealthy.
But you want to take
the money from the other rich, not from them.
Interesting enough, we also have that same sort of philosophy that has come into the Democratic Party with the latest elections. And we see the same sort of verbiage. We need to tax, 70% at 70% the most wealthy of the nation. And it sounds, so good to those people who have not been educated in history, as you said before, that doesn't take time to read and understand and do some research, that it is a disaster waiting to happen. Now, Jerry, you had a follow-on question that you wanted to bring on.
Yeah, I did. Referencing back to the extremes in France in the body polity, because we've got this upcoming May European parliamentary election. And Nidra, what do the polls say about these extremist parties with these social grievances?
The current polls show the presidential party at about 23%, and then Marine Le Pen's party about 20%, the Républicain, which is the parliamentary right, around 12%, and our Chavez, Mélenchon, around 8%. So it's been a long time that Marine Le Pen's party gets a good score in the European elections. This is totally illogical. And people are free to vote the way they want. And if they vote that way, it just shows you how difficult it is to set anything right in a society. Because Marine Le Pen has been a deputy in the European Parliament. She has done nothing. Nothing for France. In fact, she's under investigation because she used the money that the Parliament gives for her function as a European member of Parliament, and she uses it for her party hacks in France. And so she's under investigation for that. She hasn't done anything. They don't have any force to change her. But this is an atypical election, and even so, And even with 3 months of Gilets Jaunes, the president's party is still leading in the polls.
We're going to have to go to a break. So we're talking about what's going on in France and with the yellow vest and sort of trying to bring it up to a focused ideas that you can easily understand what is going on. Sometimes because of the language barrier, it's hard for those in the West to fully comprehend what's going on. So don't go away. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
That wasn't too bad. I'm Rod Bryant. You're back here listening to Beyond the Matrix on Israel News Talk Radio with Jerry Gordon, my co-host, and Nidra Pawler. We're talking about France, what is going on. We're trying to bring you a good focus so you can have a good understanding of what's happening. Let's talk about the fractures, the potential fractures in the party, and the seemingly inability for some people in other countries, the West, maybe even Israel, to not have a full understanding of what's happening. Jerry, I'm going to give it to you.
Nidra, just before we began this segment, we talked offline about this Jeanne d'Arc of the Yellow Vest movements who attempted to, quote, start a party in the European parliamentary elections, and that sort of blew up. What was the background of that?
Yes, well, I was surprised about the Politico article because it's been about 10 days since that whole attempt to run a list in the European European parliamentary elections blew up. Ingrid Levavasseur is a nurse's aide, a mother raising two children alone, and she has this long, long red hair. And whenever she's on TV, I'm looking and saying, is that the real color or is it dyed? Well, it matters because when people cry poor, then you wonder how much it takes to fix themselves up. But that's the most incidental. Here's what's happened. While some people are determined to just go out in the streets every Saturday and tear up the town while saying they're pacifists, others said, no, we have to organize. So she got together with some people and they said, we're going to run candidates for this election. Well, she got so many threats that she had to back down. They're very serious death threats. Nobody likes to get them. So she backed down, and that was at least 10 days ago, maybe more, maybe 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday, there was a second Gilets Jaunes action. They had their Saturday thing, and then they did a Sunday thing. And she had to be rescued from attacks by other Gilets Jaunes in the movement. Now, she had previously been on a TV program where 10 French citizens confronted the prime minister, told him everything he did wrong and what they want, and so on. And she had already resigned from that list. The list had resigned. And she looked at the prime minister as if she were the queen of France. And she said, I'm asking you to grant amnesty immediately to all the Gilets Jaunes that have been arrested. The prime minister said, you know, we have separation of powers. I have no power to grant them amnesty, and I frankly don't think they should be granted amnesty. She, you know, really was so haughty. Well, what happened after she had to be rescued from the last action? She said she's going to file a complaint. So if the people that harassed her were sentenced for their violence, then the amnesty she called for would apply to them. This, and believe me, I didn't read the profile, but she is a very small person with hardly anything to say that is worth reflecting on. She has every right to live and flourish and enjoy her life, but she doesn't have anything of a political leader. So that the reason the Gilets Jaunes can organize is because they're not united around any ideas. They're united around emotions and very superficial Facebook stuff. Now let's go to the anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism. As I said the first time, before they say anything specifically about Jews, your ears are already burning when you hear them talk about rich people. Then when they say, oh, but Macron, he was a banker with Rothschild. They say that that's the hook nose clause and the whole caricature of the Jew. This was coming over and over. And each time that it would pop up and become public, they would say, oh, no, no, that's on the margin. That's on the fringes. It's not the movement. But it isn't a movement. It's all fringes. It's all loose ends. And this is a very big loose end. But then let's go back to the person who was the most influential from the beginning and all the way through to today. His name is Éric Drouet, and he's a truck driver. And he's semi-literate because when he posts something, it's semi-literate. But he knows better than anybody how to run the French government. He captured something that was going on of a protest against the gas tax. But he turned it in to the Gilets Jaunes insurrection. And he is one of the most outspoken and the most listened to. They don't have leaders and they don't have spokesmen and they don't have any organization. But in fact, if he says go to the left, they go to the left. If he says walk up, they walk up. And he's constantly egging them on to be violent. He recommended from the very beginning, he advocated for overthrowing the government. That's how it started. It didn't start just with economic demands. It didn't just start by people who felt left out. It started with the force that was given to it by this Putschis. He makes videos from the seat of his truck. There was a video a long while ago already, where, like a talk show, and somebody calls in and says, ah, the shitty media, and they're all run by the Jews, and the Zionists this, and the Jews that. And this Éric Drouet is there saying, yeah, 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 yeah. Another one, Maxime Nicole, who's always, I mean, if French people were liked guns, there would already be a lot of fighting in the streets, because he's been egging on for violence, violence, violence. And when there was a protest, when the people came out in the streets against anti-Semitism, he did a video and he said, what are they talking about against anti-Semitism, Zionism, the most racist thing. Zionism, they should be punished. And he said, find out what Zionism is. Don't look on Wikipedia. That's one of the sources to go to. And when he says that, we know the source. Soral Dieudonné, the high-profile, hating people that have been pushing against Jews for the last 20 years. So these are the people that are looked up to by the Gilets Jaunes. It wasn't just some fringe guys. But I can tell you this, Gilles Kepel, who's considered to be a specialist on Islam, French geopolitical scientist, he said that there really is an infiltration of Islamists in the Gilets Jaunes phenomenon. So I sensed it from the outside, he says from the inside. And there's quoting jihadist sources explaining, yeah, we're with the Gilets Jaunes. We want to stir up, remember we talked about it, fitna. That's what's happening in our society.
Nidra, I have a question that begs to be asked at this point. There's an expression that is used in America, middle America. You know, the farming community, the rural people, the general electorate, those people who will vote, responsible citizens. What would that group of people in France be saying about this chaos that's going on with the whole group? What are they thinking? Do they feel overwhelmed by it? Do they think it's just crazy? What do they think?
I think, like the public in general, at the beginning, they saw only the, we'll call it, social economic protest side of it, right? But they might think, the same way. They might think that the solution is to take the money from the rich and give it to them. But public support for the Gilets Jaunes is constantly falling. And most of these people are they might participate in the debate. There's a lot of enthusiasm for the national debate that's been organized by the president. And they might decide to not only vote, but they might go to local officials and try to work on political solutions. The middle France, if you will, compared to middle America, one of the problems, France is extremely centralized. And it used to be rural. I mean, I came here in 72. I think this country was still quite rural. This urbanization, nobody can stop it. These aren't things that one party, one president, 1 5-year term can change. When the people leave the countryside to go to the city, of course it gets abandoned. And to try to do something about it is a huge problem. You can't do something about it by going out in the streets and shouting and getting mixed up with every kind of lowlife that exists in your country.
And it seems that that they have gotten less support because of the violence and the chaos that they're bringing to the country. So we're going to have to go to a break. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Rod Bryant, along with Jerry Gordon, my co-host, and Nidra Pollard. Thank you so much, Nidra, for coming on. You're a very special person, and we really value your insight into what's going on. I teased you in the pre-show warm-up that you were somewhat of a prophetess, and you said, I'm not sure how good of a prophet would just be able to predict something 3 months out, but you have been talking about these issues for 20 years. Yes. And this is why we believe that your opinion is so valuable. Jerry, where do you want to go now with the questions?
I basically want to go to the question of this conundrum, saying that what's happening in France is the failure of the French elite. And that brings up the automatic connection with anti-Semitism. And Goodrich, could you address that?
Yeah. You know, this little young president we have, this little boy, what kind of elite? He's a young man from the provinces. He's very bright. He has a sense of power. Very early in the Gilets Jaunes movement, the media dead in the water. He came back. He was, and he organized this national debate with people all over this country are meeting and talking in depth about the society. And it was very clever of him because didn't organize a debate with the Gilets Jaunes. He organized a debate with the French people because it's the French people who are going to decide and then who elected the president. And he is he owes his devotion to the whole people, not to the Gilets Jaunes, which is a very small faction. Okay, so the failure of the elites, of course the elites fail always. And they don't fail the same way. They fail depending on what you want. We think they failed to stop anti-Semitism. The Islamists think they failed to close shop and let them take over. And the farmers think they failed to get them a fair price for their production. So the elites failed. But what do you want then? You don't want elites? Then you want what? Common people? Is it common people are better? To run the country, elite today. These aren't hereditary aristocrats. We're talking about people who went to work at something and did a good job.
And was elected into the position. And was elected, yes.
And the Gilets Jaunes, if they're the people, the peuple, you know, among themselves, they don't understand each other. So what the president understands them more. He has given ample evidence that he understands what's going on in this country. The problem is, how do you fix it? And because I came from the United States and I live here, and I see it's overwhelming. And there are many things that are wonderful in this society, wonderful in this country. And the United States, there are many things that don't work and nobody can fix them. So let's take care of the elites that way. So what happened? Because this, in fact, you know, he's a Muslim convert, the main person that assaulted Alain Finkielkraut. He's a convert to Islam. He's a Palestinian militant for Palestinians. But he doesn't look like a convert. He looks like an Algerian. And that's what Alain Finkielkraut thought when he saw him. And so he said, when this man said to me, France is our country, he said, that wasn't a little redneck saying that to me, you know, c'est pas un petit blanc, meaning this isn't coming from the neo-Nazi Jew haters. Alain Finkielkraut is a philosopher. I saw him described in some articles that you sent me as on the right. No. He's on the left. He's a peace now. But he's a Zionist. He defends the right of Israel to exist. He's a brilliant man. He's a member of the Académie Française. His grandparents were exterminated in the camps, and his father survived. They're of Polish origin. And he is a very brilliant observer of society. This was particularly shocking. Of course, when they beat up on a, you know, 15-year-old Jewish kid in a neighborhood that's a lot of Muslim, it breaks our hearts. But when you see on television these people shouting, filthy Zionists, go back to Israel, to a brilliant man that is a man who's respected by the entire French society, That shocked particularly. Now, who organized that sort of a vigil? It was like a vigil. It wasn't a walking in the streets. It was a vigil. It came first from the Socialist Party. The Socialist Party has been reduced to almost nothing in France. So they had nothing politically to gain from it. Then the other party said, yes, we're going on, right? Now, a lot of people, very thoughtful people, were angry because they said, oh, so now they suddenly discovered it 18 years later, and they've been fueling the anti-Zionism by the way they treat Israel, by the votes, their votes in international organizations. I took a different position. I said, if they didn't come around right away, and they're coming around now, let's go with that. Don't hit them on the head today. It's good if you can be so smart that you're ahead of things, but then if you're ahead of things, then don't stomp on the people that are taking longer. I can assure you of something. The vast majority, like 80% maybe, of French people do not want this anti-Semitism in their country. French people in general, I can't give you figures, French people in general don't want this violent anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism. They have understood that the same forces attack the Jews and attack non-Jews. President Macron is terribly embarrassed by this, and he doesn't know any better than any other leader what to do about it. So it's easy to say that he's not sincere because his understanding is not clear enough and his capacity to act is very limited. I wanted to tell you something about Marine Le Pen, because many people think that she's the one, because she does often come out very strongly against Islamic anti-Semitism. Marine Le Pen has always been very strong support of the police because her party is law and order. But when the Gilets Jaunes started to make a big campaign against the police, accusing them of brutality, she completely turned against the police. And that's how hypocritical she is. And if she ever had power, she would do the same thing on all the issues. And that is why I never give any credit to her statements, that even the ones that would seem to be insightful and helpful. And this is the problem, of course, of all of these similar movements in the European countries. They don't want to be considered fascist and right-wing, but there's something that pulls them back into those old habits. Now, I can tell you something about the vigil. I was there. The people who were there, they were not hypocritical. They were very sincere. And it wasn't used to discredit the Gilets Jaunes. It was used to signify another example of dangerous anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism that's building in France. And that's why tens of thousands of people came.
I have, Jerry, we're just about out of time. And I think it's really important for us to ask this really quick question. What do you think would be a solution? What can we do as a world society to help bring more information out? What's the best way to deal with this thing?
I can say we're not there yet, because in fact, we should be pulling together. All the democracies should be pulling together. The problem has to be defined. I see it as Islamic conquest, jihad.
Right.
All the circumstantial curlicues have to be set aside, and it can't be a hate campaign against Muslims. No, not that. It has to be on the basis of Islamic conquest. And Muslims that want to be freed of that should be not with takia, not with telling us that that's not Islam. But there are lots of Muslims that really do want to be free, and there has to be a way to include them. And there's no hate for them. It's defense of democracy against Islamic conquest, and it's variants, and the Gilets Jaunes are an example of a variant of Islamic conquest, how, you know, undermine the society. So when I read these articles about the elites, for example, no, that's not what our democracies should be doing. We need more elites, not less. So all we can do is keep on what we're doing, try to define the problem and pull together as democracies.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your fine, acute attention to detail on the matters that are going on in France. And to be honest with you, it should be a red flag for the United States and for other guys. Even within Israel, there is this sort of tug and pull to divide people between very strict lines. It's very important for us to be very aware of that. You've been listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.